We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Before we get started, I wanted to invite you to our next PaperCamp conference, which will take place March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles. This is our signature program where we tackle product development for wholesale, sales strategies, marketing to retailers, and exhibiting at trade shows. We will spend 2 days diving deep with you and helping you figure out everything you need to know to build a strong wholesale foundation. We're going to provide you with a ton of resources that took us years to uncover and share our favorite manufacturers with you. And we will welcome you with open arms to our Trade Show Bootcamp family. If you'd like to join us, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp and register. Hey everyone, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Proof to Product, and welcome to our podcast. A few months ago, we had a question pop up in our Trade Show Bootcamp alumni forum that garnered a lot of attention. It was something along the lines of, is it possible to be successful in business, but also keep things small? And questions popped up of, do I need to sell to big box stores? Do I need to bring on reps and hire a team and have a warehouse and all the things that we think of when we think of growing big? And this is a really great question and one I wanted to discuss on our podcast. In our business world, and particularly online business, there is so much talk about the hustle, and there's a focus on attaining growth in business. But as we know, bigger doesn't always mean better. And I want to highlight some people that are doing a great job of creating intentional growth and using methodical decision making to ultimately build a profitable, sustainable business. And they are doing it by intentionally keeping things small. My guests today are Rachel Hetzel of Pistachio Press and Brianna Fiola of We Are Brainstorm. They have both been guests on the podcast in the past. Rachel was on episode 11, and Brianna and her husband Jason were on episode 8. So if you'd like to hear their startup stories, you can head on back and listen to those in the archives. But both of these businesses are great examples of business owners who are intentionally keeping things small and seeing the rewards of that. Today is part one of a two-part interview with Rachel and Brianna. On this episode, we talk about freedom versus stability, why there's pressure to keep up with the Joneses, and why we cannot worry about what other people are doing. We also talk about overcoming FOMO. On part two, which will air on Thursday, we are talking about why bigger doesn't always mean better, knowing your why, and communicating your company's core values so that you're attracting the right types of clients, customers, and team members. Hey, Brianna. Hey, Rachel. Thank you so much for coming back to Proof Your Product.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Katie. Thanks.
Of course. You guys are my first repeats. I'm so excited to chat with you. So first off, I need to tell you guys that I greatly admire both of you as women business owners because I've watched both of you succeed in creating a business that really fits your life. And you've done this through intentional decision making within your business. And I'm really excited for us to dive into this and for you to share what you've chosen to do within your own business so that others can see it is possible to keep things small and intentional and yet still grow your revenue and what you're doing. So I want to give our audience a little bit of a background. A couple months ago, there was a very raw and honest post in our Trade Show Bootcamp alumni forum about the pains of growing a business, a product-based business. And I don't remember the exact question, but it was something along the lines of, is it possible to be successful in this business and still keep things small? Or do I have to have reps? Do I have to sell wholesale? Do I have to go to shows? All this. And the post really resonated with our community. And when I read it, honestly, ladies, my mind immediately jumped to both of you. So I really wanted to ask you to come back to Proof to Product today because I think we need to put a spotlight on what it means to keep things small, how we can be intentional with our decision making as business owners. And I want people to see that they can still grow. So first things first, Rachel, when you started this business, what did you envision? Did you want a big empire?
So I feel like I'm a odd duck out and that I didn't really have this long-term vision. I just knew that I wanted to have my own business. I was teaching at the time and I wanted to have more control, which in, you know, hindsight, you don't really have all of the control I thought you'd have over having a small business.
Right.
But I have found a lot of flexibility in it over the years. So I've never wanted an empire. I think my max team ever would be 3 to 4 people. And I like it keeping it small. And so when I started, that was always kind of the goal. Even though I didn't have this entire vision for the way that it was going to unfold, I knew that I wanted to keep it pretty small and work with a really core team or by myself.
Well, and it sounds to me, and I know you personally, so we've talked about this in the past, but like flexibility was a priority for you too.
Yeah, it always has been. So at the time I was teaching full-time at a university. And so having some flexibility to be able to do that and jump in the business, but that also gave me flexibility within the business. It wasn't a full-time 9-to-5, like a much more traditional job would be. And so when we moved for my husband's job from upstate New York to Cincinnati, Ohio, I intentionally kept it even more lean, knowing that we may move again, and not wanting to put in too many more ties to an area that we might leave. And so that kind of drove a lot of my business decisions as well.
Yeah. Brianna, what about you guys? Did you see yourself with a large team, a big warehouse of product? What did you and Jason feel like?
No, pretty much the exact same thing that Rachel was saying. We started out really just very small. So Jay and I, we really just wanted the business, which it wasn't really even a business in the beginning. We just really wanted to go to small craft shows, make money, and pay our student loans. We wanted to improve our living situation. And we moved like 10 times in 10 years, something ridiculous. And that has kind of led us to just sticking to a very small core group of people, as in like me and Jason, because it we're just constantly moving, and we just wanted to really push the limits of what we could do ourselves.
What, Brianna, was there ever a time where you felt like, I mean, your business has done very well and you've had a lot of opportunities come your way. Mm-hmm. And did you ever feel that push of we have to grow, we have to scale, we have to make all these things happen?
Definitely.
And what was your mindset like when all that was going? Did you feel like you needed to jump into that hustle?
Yes, there were. It's almost like sometimes the business did get away from us, because whether that was an external influence or just the fact that we needed to make more money that quarter or that month or whatever the reason was, there were definitely times where it felt like we needed to, or we did put pressure on ourselves to go outside of our comfort zone and hire or just take on more wholesale accounts or just grow in a direction that didn't necessarily make sense, but we knew it would maybe lead to just making some more money for that particular amount of time. And that wasn't always right. And that led to burnout, and it led to problems. And over the years, we've gotten much better about making choices not based on external factors and kind of really digging into what we want as a couple, because we're married and that's really important to maintain homeostasis there, but also to just make sure that we're not burning out otherwise.
Right. So, okay, let's say you felt that push to grow, to add these things, kind of in a sense, it's almost like you're backed against a wall and you need, for whatever reason, to just say yes to things. How did you recenter yourself and pull yourself back? It sounded like you were paying more attention to, you know, how you were feeling and what the circumstances were ahead of time so you could cut it off at the pass. But how did you kind of recenter and refocus on your priorities?
Yeah, I think, well, I always think that there's a stigma for entrepreneurs that there's this endless pursuit of growth. Like, that's the answer. Like, you're just supposed to grow, and it doesn't make sense if you are not taking on more and growing and getting better and bigger and faster and all of these things. But we, Jason and I, have always kind of had this mantra in the back of our heads. We used to say freedom versus stability. We always wanted freedom versus stability. And this, as scary as that is, to not have stability, having freedom always, just at the end of the day, made us happier individually and as a couple, and with just everything else in our life just seemed to kind of come together when we made freedom a priority. And now now that we actually are a little bit more stable in terms of finances, in terms of we like chose a place to live. We've been here for a couple years. We're pretty stable as far as that goes. Now we actually say that it's lifestyle versus bottom line. So mm-hmm. we are trying to maintain this lifestyle of simplicity because it's a choice.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers that.
It really does. I loved what you talked about, this hustle and like the never ending growth, because I do feel like that is what we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is what we hear in podcasts mm-hmm. like this, and what we hear in, you know, educational programming and all this mm-hmm. stuff. It's always about the more. But at the same time, you can keep things small. You mm-hmm. can keep things lean and mean. And still, that means more money, more opportunities. Like, it's just about being selective and intentional. And so I really liked how you frame that yeah. of what your priority is, yeah. you know, and how that drives your decisions. Rachel, what is something that you have specifically done to intentionally keep things smaller for you?
So I think my business has kind of fluctuated over the years in terms of what the focus is. And so I feel like, you know, at one point we did a lot of custom, and then I did a lot more wholesale. Now I'm doing some more commercial printing along with some custom work. And so that has really changed. In terms of keeping it intentional, I think it is being flexible in order to see what the opportunities are. And I'm able to make things, because I'm the maker, in small quantities. So that was really important to me in order to kind of maintain that intentionality, so that I don't have to have a warehouse. I can have everything in my small studio, and I may have to reprint more frequently, and that may not be as cost efficient in the long run, but it saves me from sinking a lot of money into inventory. And so then I'm able to kind of like walk the line on what my profit is for, you know, so it was a lot of different factors. But I really intentionally kept things more portable in a way, too.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So I recently did a podcast episode about how I feel like there are three different seasons of business. The first is scaling. It was what Brianna was just talking about. We're trying to add new. We're trying to grow new people, new product, new systems. You know, we have lots of ideas that we want to implement. The second one is maintenance. And that's where we're looking at what we're already doing, what we're currently doing, and how to make it the best we absolutely can. So I kind of look at it as optimizing. And this may be enhancing customer service, refining our packaging, or just building stronger internal systems. And then the third is streamlining. And that, I view this area as like where we're cutting what's not working. It's kind of where we like start adding a bunch of product and none of it starts to fit anymore. Maybe the design aesthetics that we start, you know, something we created several years ago doesn't fit or mesh well with what we're doing now, or it just, there's an imbalance and we're trying to kind of streamline things and cut things to get back to that balance. And I really truly feel that healthy businesses need to go through all three of these phases at different times. And we may go through them repeatedly uh-huh. too, or ping pong back and forth. Brianna, which season of business do you guys feel like you're in right now? And what are you working on?
Oh, I definitely think we're in the streamlining phase. It's funny when you say those three seasons, I can like think in my head, I know when we were trying to grow, I know when we were trying to optimize and maintain. And that was the maintaining part was a huge chunk of time in recent history. And now we are 100% in the streamlining phase, just trying to honor, I like to say, like, I'm trying to honor my revisionist nature and like looking at everything that we do on a day-to-day basis and get really, really good at making decisions quickly and using not just like, we rely heavily on like gut instinct. That's kind mm-hmm. of been a driving force of all of our decision making in business, because we have no business background, I should add, but just honoring.
But you're still killing it.
Yeah, but that's but so we've learned, and I have learned personally, to just pay attention to what, like, I'm not like pay attention to my feelings and my thoughts, but like pay attention to how any decision that we make will affect the, like, the holistic nature of us as a business and a couple. So mm-hmm.
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Hey friends, I know you wear a lot of hats as a small business owner. And while some of those hats are pretty great, others, like filing your taxes and running payroll, those aren't so great. And that is where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for all of us small business owners. They have fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits or even 401ks for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way we're doing small business work today. But Gusto is. And now is the best time to get set up for the new year. Listeners of Proof to Product get 3 free months when they run their first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/proof. That's gusto.com/proof. Rachel, what about you? Which season do you feel like you're in right now? What are you working on?
I would agree, definitely the streamlining. And I think you're right. Really, we go through, it's kind of cyclical. So I can feel all three of them at once sometimes, especially when I'm trying to bring a new product. And it's really, I think one of the things that I really wanted to say is that it's really easy to like feel like you have to keep up with the Joneses. So I can look at someone who has a warehouse full of stuff and say, man, I'm such a failure because I haven't done that. And then I think, okay, well, in order to have that, they have a huge monthly overhead and they have staff people that they have to pay and they have to buy that product in bulk or make it in bulk. Most of the time they're buying it. And so, and then I look and I think, okay, what is their bottom line and what is my bottom line and how much money are we each bringing home? And it might be the same amount, but they're doing, they have a whole lot more stress worrying about all of those other things than I do. And so I feel like I have to be very intentional about pulling back and not looking around and keeping my head down and just knowing that I'm doing the work that I need to be doing for me and that I don't want that empire. I just want my own little piece of like whatever my bliss or happiness happens to be.
I am so glad that you brought that up. I mean, I've interviewed some women lately on this podcast that are making millions of dollars or have very large businesses. But when it boils down to it, their expenses are so incredibly high that their profit margins are on equal par to like some of the smaller businesses like the three of us, you know, like because we keep our overhead lower. And so it is fascinating. And I'm glad you brought that up because the comparison game is real and it's very difficult as we're looking around the industry and trying to develop our own sense of who we are as a business and what we want to get out of our business. I also recently read a book called Company of One by Paul Jarvis, and I'm going to have him on the podcast soon too. And he talks about what is our enough. What is our enough as an entrepreneur? And that could be money, that could be time, that could be the impact we're making with our products and services. But I think that also ties into the hustle that Brianna talked about. That talks, you know, the keeping up with the Joneses that you talked about. Like, I think it's really important for all of us to think about what is our enough. And that's been something I've been coming back to in my own business quite frequently lately of like, what do I want from this? Why am I doing this? What kind of impact do I want to make? What kind of money do I want to make? And how do I want to help people?
And can I make one more point too, yes, to Rachel's point about the keeping up with the Joneses? I think for me and my business, I no longer have this intense fear of missing out. Maybe because we've been so experimental in all of the things that we've been trying to do over the years, we've tasted a little bit of everything and kind of been able to try. Because we've stayed so small, we've been able to be nimble, so we could try lots of things. And now when I see companies with big warehouses or people with like that seem to be just doing exponentially better than we are, quote unquote, better, I can kind of filter it through and say like, well, that's not really what I want because I've tasted that or I've tried that and it just doesn't quite sit well with me. And we've been able to discuss that, like, that's not right for us. And now we know why. And, you know, there's a little bit less of, you know, missing out, fear of missing out. So
I appreciate you saying that because I do think that that sort of confidence comes with the trial and error that you've experienced and, you know, the fact that you've been in business a while. I think especially for new businesses, that FOMO is real, man. Oh, yeah. That keeping up with the Joneses and the comparison, it is a common concern and fear that I hear over and over. And so I think it's refreshing for them to also hear from somebody like you, Brianna, and you, Rachel, that like, you don't have to compare yourself to everybody else. No. And you shouldn't let that FOMO get to you, because you really need to focus more on what your priorities are, what your goals are, and how you're going to hit those goals.
And it doesn't mean we don't still fail. Sorry, I should mention. just because I'm not comparing myself to other people doesn't mean we don't still mess up all the time. So I should mention that too.
Me too. No, I'm glad you did too. I'm falling on my face all the time. Rachel, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that I think the experience is really important. So I think that's in part why we are in this season of business, is because we've been able to see, like, what is that cyclical nature? You know, when you start and you're in business for a year, you don't know when your slow season is. You don't know when you can do product development. You don't know when you can, like, take time off to streamline certain things, because you're constantly trying to grab for more or saying yes to everything so that you can get those experiences, so that hopefully down the road you can learn when to say no to things.
Yeah.
And to maybe figure out what your, you know, personal ideals would be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's experience. It's the having successes, having failures. That all shapes us. That shapes our, the way we're an entrepreneur, the decisions we make, all of it. I agree with you ladies on that. Rachel, how do you make decisions about what to move forward on and what to say no to? Like, what's kind of your criteria that you base all decisions on?
So I think for me, it comes down to, is this a one-time thing or is it going to be an ongoing partnership? So those are, in particular, when I'm working with like commercial clients, and how hard do I want to push for that? And how easy or hard is it to work with certain clients? And that could be, you know, part of the reason I stopped doing as much custom is because it got really difficult to constantly be going back and forth with brides about invitations. And, you know, it really does fluctuate. So I think I try to figure out what is the work on the front end. So am I building a relationship or is this a one-off? And how much stress will that opportunity, how much stress do I think it will be, and how much am I willing to tolerate? And yeah, my tolerance level has gone way down.
How has that shifted?
It's been awesome. I'm not willing to take on jobs that 5 years ago I would have absolutely said yes to, because I wanted the challenge and I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to like kill this and it's going to be a really great Instagram post or whatever it is. Now I can say, okay, this is a one-time thing that I know I can't charge what I'm worth for whatever reason. You know, I'm thinking of like big custom commercial projects that are just going to be a horrible pain to print. And I'm not the shop that's most equipped to deal with that. So I'm happy to turn jobs down. And I've had a couple people kind of get upset about that. And I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I want to take on for the amount of money I'm going to make for the stress I'll incur, if that makes any sense.
Oh my God, that is like,
I see Brianna nodding her head over here. What do you want to add?
I just want to say ditto to every single thing that she just said. That was so perfectly, like, that came out of my brain. That's exactly how we do it too. You just, like, it's a filtering system, and you're just capable of making these faster decisions about what you have the bandwidth for, what you have emotional bandwidth for, physical, whatever. And it's just, it comes with time. It's not something that you, and maybe some people have better instincts right out of the gate when they are starting a business and they know it's going to be a business, but I think it's just something that comes with time and just experience. Yeah. And like we were just saying before, it's just, you learn and then you adapt and then you're able to, you know, say yes or no based on those things.
Exactly.
I vividly remember projects at the very beginning of my stationery business that I said yes to that I really should not have said yes to. It was like, I was flattered that they liked my work. I was honored that they wanted to pay me to do this work. You know, like, I was just excited about the opportunity, to your point, Rachel, too, of like, oh my gosh, like, this will be a fun project. You know, I can Instagram this, I can talk about it. But in hindsight, oh my gosh, I wasn't charging enough. It was taking up way too much time. It was causing too much stress. Like, in retrospect, after having gone through those trenches, it's a lot easier to see what your filter should be and what, and I do think that comes with time. I think that comes with just doing more of different types of projects, but it also comes with, again, going back to that confidence that we're building too. So.
Well, and I think, Katie, a lot of this comes down to we're micro businesses, and our businesses tend to be wrapped up in our identities and they're part of our life. And so for me, business decisions are also lifestyle decisions. And I know now that I need to have, you know, I have a kid. I can't work 80 hours a week anymore. Sometimes I still do, but it's so much more rare because I know what my, I have more of a lifestyle goal than I have business goals. And so maybe that's the distinction for me, is that sometimes I don't make a distinction between those two things because they're so interchangeable in my head. Maybe I should, maybe other people are better at that. But for me, those are so intertwined.
Do you feel like it's always been that way for you, Rachel? Or do you feel like there was a time or like a pivotal moment that kind of switched that in your brain?
One of it was, you know, teaching full time, making new product. I got the flu the day I was supposed to leave for a trade show. And this is probably 5-6 years ago, maybe even longer. And my sister and mother were both like, you're going to have a heart attack. My sister sent me a letter and she's like, you really need to slow down. You're working too much. And I think at that point I was working probably 80 to 100 hours a week. But I had been doing that for 3 or 4 years. So it just kind of felt normal. And then I really started to think, okay, what do I want? I don't want to work myself to death. What do I want out of my career? And I think that was one of the biggest changes. Second was having a kid and figuring out like, oh, it's kind of nice to leave work and just go home. And, you know, like you might answer an email or two, but I've made a intentional separation between a lot more lately.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Hey friends, I started Proof to Product as a way to share all of the amazing things that our alumni community is doing and how they are growing their businesses. Now, you may remember Lisa Sarmento of Tiramisu Papery. She was on episode 55 of Proof to Product. Well, I wanted to give you a little bit more background about Lisa. When she came to our Paper Camp conference, she was selling to approximately 20 stores, and she had 3 main goals that she wanted to hit within the first year. She wanted to refine her wholesale program to reach a wider audience, so she was bringing in new accounts. She wanted to exhibit at the National Stationery Show, which was going to be her first trade show. And she wanted to hire sales reps across the United States. Now, if you've talked to Lisa or listened to the episode, you know that she has a ton of ambition and a very deep purpose for the work that she does. And I had zero doubt that she would accomplish all 3 of these goals and more. Less than a year after coming to Paper Camp, Lisa's products were carried in 124 stores, including Paper Source. She had added 22 sales reps to her team, and she had successfully exhibited at her first trade show. And today, these numbers are even higher. When I asked Lisa about her experience at Paper Camp, this is what she had to say. She said, I am very grateful for what Paper Camp has done for me. I can't tell you how much things have changed for the better thanks to your program. The wisdom shared by bootcamp speakers and your encouraging words are a huge part of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you would like to uplevel your business, build or refine your wholesale program, or prepare your company to exhibit at trade shows, I want to personally invite you to join us March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles for our next Paper Camp conference. To learn more and register, head to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.